the ramen mitoko is true bishi. Okay. So last week in general we were looking at Mizmor Nun Aleph, and we looked at the pshat and Chazal's interpretation of David's sin, and then we looked at David expressing his remorse, his regret, and his desire to restore his relationship with Hashem that he broke as a result of his chait. And then we looked at the ideas in catharsis and in Aleph Tshuva, describing or elaborating upon what David was going through in his tshuva process. So we ended our discussion of this last class by seeing whether or not there are any limitations on tshuva. It seems to, the Mizmor seems to imply, right, that David was asking to be kind of the model of tshuva, and that if you do tshuva willfully, just as if you've sinned willfully, you can achieve kapara and you restore your relationship with Hashem. That's specifically what David is asking for, especially in the second half of the Mizmor. And in Rambam, in Hilchos Teshuvah and Perek Vav, we saw the beginning, Prakim, Perek Aleph and Bet, seems to imply that man has complete free will, and just like man can sin willfully, so too can he do tshuva willfully. However, we saw in Halacha Gimel that Rambam seems to put some limitations on that, specifically if someone sins very grievously, Hashem has the ability to withhold free will, and thereby not allow him to have the opportunity to do tshuva. And Rambam quotes that Paro is one such explanation. So we looked last class at the difference between Rambam and Albo's interpretation of Yechasek Hashem Etzei Paro to understand the nature of tshuva and what it entails and if there are specific limitations. So whereas Rambam took the free will deprivation approach, where he said basically that when someone sins so grievously but willfully, then for his punishment, God can withhold the opportunity for him to do tshuva. So that way we described as kind of the free will deprivation approach, but it's just of God to do that because he did sin initially willfully. Albo takes a little bit of a more libertarian stance by saying that the hardening of Paro's heart did not deprive him, as Rambam would suggest, of free will, but rather it ensures that he has free will, it preserves his free will, because the plagues could have served kind of as a softening effect. It could have coerced Paro to let the Jews go, but Hashem hardened his heart, thereby giving him courage to withstand the plagues, and allowed him to make a free choice whether or not to liberate the Jews. When he refused to do so, or when he pursued them after he did do so, we saw that it was a free choice, and thereby he did not do tshuva. Had he let them go based on coercion, that also wouldn't have constituted tshuva.
Yeah. I was curious about Albo's position. Is he saying that the hardening of Paro's heart was physical, that he was able to physically withstand the Malkut, or that he was intellectually able to attribute them to some force other than God?
He doesn't make the distinction, however, I would think it's somewhat physical, because although it could be emotional as well, there are some recent scholars that talk about the softening effect is a cowardly effect, whereas the hardening effect is a courageous effect, and you need courage in order to make a free choice. And so that could be more of an emotional type of thing, but also physically, if he was in so much excruciating pain, maybe that would have caused him to just say, forget it, you know, just alleviate, I'll do whatever you want in order to alleviate the physical suffering for me. So that could also be the softening effect. Okay, so we saw the two basic ends of the section, whether it's free will deprivation or free will preservation. So with regard to the limitations, or lack thereof of free choice or of the opportunity to do tshuva. So I just want to now tie that discussion of Yechasek Hashem Etzei Paro back into the Mizmor by looking at Halacha Dalet in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay, so we talked about the first three halachot inside, and we talked a little bit about Halacha Hey as well. We skipped Halacha Dalet specifically so we could tie that back into the Mizmor right now. So if you look at Halacha Dalet, Rambam interprets the words of our Mizmor, among other Mizmorim as well. He interprets David's words in light of his discussion of free will or of tshuva in general. Okay, so can somebody read and explain Halacha Dalet? This is on the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Shita. Anyone, and explain how you can thereby, based on our discussion, interpret it back into David's words in Mizmor and Aleph. Anyone? Halacha Dalet, even if you didn't see it before. Go ahead, thank you. So just explain it so far.
So in this manner, the Tzaddikim asked, when they daven, they ask Hashem to help them towards this goal. Like when David says, he's saying, don't allow my chataim to block derech ha'emet, meaning to block my way towards teshuva.
Exactly.
Okay,
so now he quotes, so Harinina Hashem Darkecha, we saw from the last Mizmor, from Mizmor Kafzayim that we did, that's how he's explaining it in light of this. Show me your ways, allow me to do tshuva, don't allow anything to impede me from this process of having the proper understanding of you and having the proper bitachon in you, which we discussed in the faith topic of Mizmor Kafzayim, and now he's bringing it into this Mizmor as well. Ruach Nedivat Yismecheni. Support me, sustain me with this generous spirit, kelomar. Okay, so what does he mean? Baruch nidivat
tzmecheni. Allow me to do your will.
Exactly.
Let my
Don't cause my sins to prevent me from doing tshuva. Ella tia harashut biyadi, but rather allow my rashut, allow my free will to be in my own hands. Ad she'achzor, until I do tshuva. Va'avin ve'eda derchemet, and until I comprehend, and until I appreciate, until I recognize the derech ha'emet, which is what he was discussing in the second half of the Mizmor, right? He was asking Hashem, allow me to understand your ways of truth. You don't just want my physical actions. You want me to really understand in the innermost depths how to approach you and how to connect with you internally as well. So we see Rambam, in light of this understanding of the Chesek Hashem V'Leipar, or in his understanding of the parameters of Tshuva in general, reading it back into the Psukim, Baruch Nedivat Tzmecheni, this is David asking Hashem, allow me to have free will. Don't deprive me of free will. Don't punish me to the extent that I will no longer have the opportunity to do tshuva. So this is, if you can read this into the Mizmor, you certainly can read Albo's stance, which was a free will preservation, into the Mizmor as well. In fact, Albo later in the chapter, I didn't give you the whole chapter because it's a little lengthy, but Albo in Sefer Karim also quotes this particular pasuk, Baruch Nedivat Tzmecheni, to explain, please Hashem, allow me to the free will to return to you, allow me to the opportunity to do tshuva, which is in line with the whole Mizmor, first expressing his remorse and then trying that the chatati part of his succinct confession, and then trying to restore his relationship with Hashem. That's the La Hashem part of his succinct vidui, in which he tries to do tshuva willfully as a result of his introspection from his sin, which he had initially done willfully. Okay, so we can see, obviously, there's difference of opinions with regard to the nature of free will in tshuva, but we see David, nonetheless, whether you're looking at it from Rambam's approach or from Albo's approach, we see David asking Hashem for help, Hashem svatai titecha fi yagitilatecha, so that he can model this tshuva, so that he can restore his relationship with Hashem as a result of his free will. Okay, so that will conclude our understanding of Mizmor Nun Aleph and the whole tshuva topic, as we've seen as a result of his chait with Batsheva. The next Mizmor that I want to look at is Mizmor Aleph. And Mizmor Aleph is a bit of a different style of Mizmor than we've seen before. First of all, it's much shorter, but that's not the difference. The main difference is that when we discussed in the introduction the sugim, the different types of Mizmorim, we saw so far Tluna, we've seen so far Hodeya or Tehila. What we haven't seen thus far is a Mizmor Chochmah. And we'll see Mizmor Aleph as such an example. Okay, so Mizmor Aleph is a pedagogical type of Mizmor. Okay, so I'd like you to prepare it. It's only six psukim, it's not that lengthy. However, there's metaphors that I want to delve into quite deeply. Okay, so we're just going to divide up the Mizmor into three chalakim. Look at, and briefly describe, Aleph through Bet, Gimel through Dalet, and then Hey through Vav. After you give a brief definition or description of each, focus specifically on Psukim Gimel and Dalet. in Psukim, Gimel, and Dalet, there's two mashalim. One of a tzaddik and one of a rasha. Okay? Look at the details that he puts in each of the metaphors and explain what each of the details contribute to the image that he's trying to present and why is one much more detailed and lengthier while the other one is much terser. Okay? And in addition to that, what kind of equation does he set up in the last two psukim? And what's the complication? Or what can you, how can you challenge that seeming equation that he sets up in Hey through Vav? Okay. Two last questions that I also want you to look at when thinking about the Mizmor. Number one, why do you suppose that this is a Mizmor Chokhmah? What is the Vav trying to teach in this Mizmor? And number two, why is this the introductory Mizmor of the whole Sefer Tehillim? Why is this fitting? Why do you imagine that this would be an appropriate introduction to the rest of the Sefer? Okay, so go through the six psukim, utilize any mefarshim that you would want, especially in your interpretation of the mashalim, and then try to just deal with the last questions.
Okay.